Blog Talk Radio.
Kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer radio show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. To call in to the show, the guest line is 515-602-9687, 515-602-9687, if you'd like to call in and debate about the sport that you love. We talk about dog racing, horse racing, camel racing, pie eating contests, the UFC, WWE, anything that comes across the monitor of the sport. We'll cover it. If you don't like what we're talking about, you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Maybe you can teach us about it. If you don't know what we're talking about, we can teach you about it. This is a we talk a lot about the NFL on this show because this is a football talk show, but we do cover NBA, NHL, MLB, USFL, XFL, fan control sports, NCAA men's and women's sports. Today's topic is Nick stops the Bulls in overtime. We're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESTW Best Chula Vista, California. It is 46 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. Again, our topic is Knicks stop Bulls in overtime. The New York Knicks of the NBA win in overtime in last night's action, giving them a five-game winning streak. The show's number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, will call in to debate the host on all things New York Knicks and Baltimore Ravens in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered are NBA action and scores, NHL, World Cup, MLB, and NCAA men's and women's action and scores. All right, let's get into it. Last night, the New York Knicks had a big, big win last night, giving them a five-game win streak, I think, since the first five-game win streak in a couple years now, if I'm correct. If I'm correct, I think they said going back to 2018 was the last time they had a five-game win streak. So the New York Knicks, led by Julius Randle, they played a good game last night, hell of a game last night, you know. Probably shouldn't have had to go into overtime with the Bulls, but once DC calls in, I'll ask him about that. Why did they have to go into overtime? Unfortunately, last night I was doing multiple things, so I was just checking the scores on the game last night. The game was on the monitor, but I was just kind of like couldn't really get off into all of the action. I was just able to see it in spurts. But anyway, I did notice that they did pull the win off at the end. Last night also in NBA action, my Clippers, L.A. Clippers, they topped the Minnesota Timberwolves last night. And we had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on the court last night for the first time in quite some time. If I'm correct, I believe both of them started last night, but some other key players were out. But last night we had PG-13, and we had Kawhi Leonard on the court last night, and they came up with a solid win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, yeah, we had a lot of stuff going on last night in the NBA action, a lot of stuff. On the monitor right now, they're talking about the Cowboys on upset alert against the Jaguars, trying to figure out if the Dallas Cowboys are looking past the Jaguars, you know, moving forward, you know, to play the Philadelphia Eagles on holiday weekend. We'll see what happens with that. World Cup news is going to try to repeat as World Cup champions against Messi and Argentina. So that's going to be the final, Argentina and France. This will be Lionel Messi's first World Cup championship if he can win it. His first championship if he can win it. And this will be France's second World Cup. They'll repeat if they can win. So it's kind of interesting. World, you know, every 4 years they do this World Cup thing, if I'm correct. And France won it 4 years ago. Now they have an opportunity to win it again this year. So we'll see. That's going to be taking place Sunday morning, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, World Cup action, World Cup final. Also on the monitor, they're saying Russell Westbrook, 15 points a game, 8 assists, 6 rebounds off the bench this season. Has Russell Westbrook and the Lakers found the perfect fit? I think so. It's not the fact that they don't have a big three. That's why I said yesterday Darvin Ham is doing something that I never kind of like really seen done before. Usually when you got a big three and you're paying guys to be a part of a team and be those three guys being the face of the franchise, they're usually starting all together. There is nobody coming off the bench unless it's an injury or something like that. But this thing with the actual big three and Russell Westbrook and AD and LeBron James, they might, you know, every now and then, you know, I'm not going to say that they're never on the court together. What I'm saying is he's coming off the bench in spots to play as a member of that big three, or he's coming off the bench, I believe, if I'm correct, and he's running the second unit while AD and LeBron James are resting up. Darvin Ham is making it work. Looking like Russell Westbrook has just said, you know what, let me just go ahead and buy into this thing. Because now the Lakers look like a playoff team. They no longer look like a team to where it's like, okay, well, let's try to figure out how to get Russell Westbrook enough minutes to try to figure out how to sell him to sell him by the trade deadline to another team. Let's keep him out there, still show his value, and get him off the payroll. I don't think that's where they're at. I don't think it's a money thing with Russell Westbrook. I think it's just the fact that they were trying to figure out basically how do we use him. How do we use him? We're paying him, definitely. We're paying him. They picked up the payroll. They put him on the payroll. They knew how much he was going to cost to come there. LeBron James reportedly wanted him there. I get it. Russell Westbrook is an L.A. guy. That's where he grew up at, if I'm correct. So I'm just saying it like this. I don't believe it was ever about the money, because they paid the money to bring him there. That's why I believe that the front office was like, well, certain people wanted him. So they were adamant about getting him here. Okay, now he's here. Now we don't know how to use him. So they finally figured out when they brought in Darvin Ham just said, hey, this is how it's going to go. My team, I'm the boss. Whoever don't like it, oh well. This is how it's got to happen. It's working, people. Darvin Ham's method, I don't know how he got Russell Westbrook to buy into the system, but it's working, and I like it, because it's actually taking a lot of pressure off Russell Westbrook to be this great shooter that everybody knows he's not, and I don't think he ever has been. I think he used to be a little bit better than he is now, but I think right now his game is energy off the bench, leadership, spark for the second unit, spark when he's out there with the other two pieces of the big three, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I think he's definitely spark coming off the bench. The other night when they lost to the Celtics was definitely a winnable game. That was a winnable game night before last. So if they play in like that, I could definitely see them getting the 8th seed, going into the play-in tournament. Yeah, however they do it, I don't know how they break the tournament down now with, whoever gets, whether it's, I think if you get the 8th seed, you're already in, then the bottom four do a play-in tournament. Maybe they bring in one more team for the play-in tournament and, feed them to the top seed and get them bounced out real quick. It's sort of like a format of like the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament, the play-in game. And that's fine. But the point I'm making is this thing with Russell Westbrook and the Lakers, it's working now. It's working. And it's working in a different way, because they got a big three that all their big three is not starting. It's not in the starting lineup. But it doesn't matter. It's working. Again, last night, the Knicks topped the Bulls in overtime. Julius Randle is commanding that team. He's commanding that team and moving them forward. And my number one sports contributor, DC, who will be calling in from Maryland, I'm assuming he's going to call in, because usually when the Knicks get a big win in prime time, he calls in. So we'll see if he's going to call in when I go into my commercial break. I'll see if I can dig him up. But the Knicks beat the Bulls 128-120 in overtime. Julius Randle, 31 points. Jalen Brunson, 30 points. So that gives Knicks their fifth straight win. Knicks get their fifth straight win. So, interesting time up in for all the people in Madison Square Garden. Their team went on the road, beat the Chicago Bulls, a tough Chicago Bulls team. Like I say, it took them to overtime to beat the Bulls. But the Knicks looked good last night. I mean, overall, they looked good. Julius Randle seems to be leading his troops. I'm hearing a lot of different feedback from my network about Julius Randle's attitude ain't right. He makes the wrong moves. He does this wrong. He does that wrong. I think last night when he got the last shot, I did see he got took the last shot before they went into overtime, and he missed it, but I thought he had a good look. I just thought that he just missed the shot. But, I can't remember if it was an air ball or not, or if it hit the rim, but I know it was the right decision to get the ball to him based on where he was at on the court. I thought it was a quality look but he just missed the shot to secure the deal before they went into overtime. Unlike LeBron James the other night, I just didn't think that LeBron James had that type of a look. Shooting the three that he shot the other night against the Boston Celtics, which led them to go into overtime. I don't think LeBron James' look was as good as Julius Randle's look last night against the Chicago Bulls to stop them from having to go into overtime. What I'm noticing though in the NBA, it's a lot of overtime games. We're getting a lot of overtime games in the NBA. It's like these teams cannot close these guys out. I don't know if it's because these teams can't close each other out. I don't know if it's because the way the referees are calling the game or what. I don't know. But I just know that the games are going into overtime. Also on the monitor, the Cavaliers defeat the Mavericks 105-90. Cavaliers defeat the Mavericks 105-90. Donovan Mitchell from Cleveland, 4 assists. Luka Doncic from Dallas, 30.6 assists. Cavaliers defeat the Mavericks 105-90. People might as well get ready for the Cleveland Cavaliers resurgence without LeBron James. They might well get ready for the resurgence of the Cleveland Cavaliers without LeBron James. This team, led by Donovan Mitchell and the other stars, it's a good team. This is a good basketball team. I'm excited to continue to watch the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is an exciting basketball team. Donovan Mitchell coming from Utah, who stayed in Utah for a long time, and he did his business in Utah, but then it was time for him to go. They blew the thing up in Utah, got rid of Rudy Gobert, got rid of Donovan Mitchell, or they both asked for trades, whatever. They blew it up. But Utah's also winning. They're also winning, and are a good team. They were the number one team in the West. I think right now my New Orleans Pelicans are the number one team in the West, along with somebody else. It might be a tie between Utah and the Pelicans. I gotta figure that out. I'll get the notes on as soon as my number one sports contributor gets on the show, because he keeps all those stats in his pocket. So we'll get it all sorted out. But back to Cleveland defeating the Dallas Mavericks last night. That's big. Cleveland defeat the Cavaliers defeat the Mavericks 105-90. And this is Dallas with Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic put up 30 points, 6 assists. Donovan Mitchell put up 34 points, 4 assists. So that was, you know, that's a big win for Cleveland. Big win for Cleveland. We also had the Lakers. They tried to hang in there with Cleveland, but Cleveland proved to be, again, too much for the Lakers. Cleveland got a good basketball team. I see them going deep in the East. I don't think they're going to get bounced out in the first round. Not at all. Not by a long shot. I don't see that happening. Yeah, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferrant, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. Time on deck is 8:20 a.m. It is 46 degrees and sunny in San Diego, California. Anybody that's ever been to San Diego, California, know 46 degrees is cold for us. It's cold outside. If anything below 51 degrees and below, it's cold outside. I don't think I'm going to be getting out that much today. But, going to have a great show today. Should have my number one sports contributor calling in and everything like that. The Bucks 20-7 at the Grizz is 18-9 tonight at 8 Eastern. Bucks 20-7 at the Grizz tonight, 8 Eastern. Going to see what Ja Morant can do with Giannis and company. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Got a lot of NBA stuff going on because football season is wrapping up. It's about to wrap up in the next couple of weeks as we go into the playoffs. The regular season for football is wrapping up as we go into the next finish up the next few games going into the playoffs. So football is going to be out of the way for NFL and here real soon for the college games. We've got some big-time college games coming up for the NCAA. And so all that stuff is going to be gone, and basketball is going to be king for the next 5 months or so, 4 or 5 months. It's just going to be about NBA and college basketball. So basketball is about to take over the airways, NCAA men's and women's basketball, and the NBA. So football season is wrapping up for college and for the NFL. All that stuff is wrapping up. And it's about to be all basketball. Like they say, the NBA season doesn't start until Christmas Day. Got a lot of good games on Christmas Day. I got to get the Christmas Day schedule and pop that out. I think the Knicks are playing a game on Christmas Day, I believe. I think, if I'm correct, the Knicks are playing on Christmas Day. But I have to talk to my number one sports contributor about that once he calls in. Yeah, but other than that, just going to try to rattle off a couple of scores. NCAA men's action, we had Ohio 48, Florida 82. Florida over Ohio 82-48. Florida over Ohio. And in men's action as well, UAB 84, South Carolina 70 in NCAA men's action basketball. UCF 72, Ole Miss 61. UCF 72, Ole Miss 61. Minnesota 72, Arkansas Pine Bluff 56. Minnesota 72, Arkansas Pine Bluff 56. Oregon 71, UC Riverside 65. Oregon 71, UC Riverside 65. That was a close one. The USC 88, Long Beach State 78. USC 88, Long Beach State 78. Anything across the monitor to the Women's Soccer League, National Women's Soccer League investigation finds ongoing misconduct. They got this big lawsuit. The National Women's Soccer League, their players' union, is going after a lot of the front office personnel for these teams. Stephen Curry leaves the Warriors loss with a shoulder injury. Donovan Mitchell outdoes Luka Doncic as the Cavs top Mavs. Donovan Mitchell outdoes Luka Doncic as the Cavs top the Mavericks. Just rattling off to you some news coming across the monitor, breaking news, lead stories, and some scores. Just trying to make sure I cover everybody. I'm trying to get everything covered in the first hour with all these different scores for people that's listening around the world. The Knicks extend the win streak to 5 with overtime win at the Bulls. The Knicks extend the win streak to 5 with overtime win at the Bulls. Number 16, UCLA is dominant in a 27-point win at number 20, Maryland. Number 16, UCLA dominant in a 27-point win at Maryland. France beats Morocco, will play Argentina in the World Cup final. France beats Morocco, will play Argentina in the World Cup final. NBA action. Pistons 141, Hornets 134. Pistons 141, Hornets 134 in NBA action. That's a good win for the Pistons. They don't win much. But they won last night 141-134 over the Hornets, and LaMelo Ball just came back. LaMelo Ball came back for the Hornets, but he wasn't able to lead in the victory. Pacers 125, Warriors 119. Pacers 125, Warriors 119. Stephen Curry got injured in that game. Pacers 125, Warriors 119. Steph Curry with a shoulder injury had to leave the game. Yes, I'm just rattling off some NBA scores for everybody around the world that's trying to catch up on their American sports. Magic 135, Hawks 124 in NBA action. Magic 135, Hawks 124 in NBA action. Also across the monitor, is John Morant the most box office star in the NBA? Is John Morant the most box office star in the NBA? Yeah, but how long does that last? We seen Russell Westbrook, Russell Westbrook was John Morant before John Morant. So you see how that ended up. Kings 124, Raptors 123. Kings 124, Raptors 123 in NBA action. And when I say that about John Morant and Russell Westbrook, I'm just saying that as time goes on, people get older. Your body gets older. You're not as explosive as you used to be. Not saying Russell Westbrook is not still an explosive guy, but I'm just saying he's not the young Russell Westbrook like this young John Morant. I've seen this show before. This John Morant is going. It may fade down the stretch, but we'll see. Knicks 128, Bulls 120. Knicks 128, Bulls 120 in NBA action. New York, Randle, 31 points, 13 rebounds. Brunson, I believe he had 30. He had 30 points as well. 30 points, 7 assists. Knicks 128 over the Bulls 120. But what I was saying about John Morant again is that, you know, he's the second version of Russell Westbrook, in my opinion. I mean, they play very similar, very similar. I think John Morant may be just a little bit better shooter than Russell Westbrook was back in the day. Maybe just a little bit better, but Russell Westbrook has the ability to get hot, and he still has the ability to get hot on some nights. But I think that both of their games are very similar, just explosive, take it to the rim type of guys. Human highlight reels, the dunk, the crossover, all these different things, whatever they got to do to get them to the hole. That type of player that John Morant is, just like Russell Westbrook, somewhat like Allen Iverson. But what I notice is when guys continue to go to the hole year after year after year, as they get older, their body starts to get beat up, and then they got to learn how to shoot. So the best thing I can say is that the only thing I'm gonna add to John Morant's game is that just be a great shooter. Sort of how like my number one sports contributor DC, he'll come on the show and he'll always talk about Derrick Rose, how Derrick Rose is that same type of player, take it to the hole type of guy, take it to the hole. But once you start having injuries, play that way anymore. What's the next thing I need to do? I need to learn how to defend. And learn how to shoot the basketball. I need to be great on defense to secure my job. Because in basketball, if you can't defend, you won't be there long. Learn how to defend, and then learn how to shoot the ball. Learn how to defend, and learn how to shoot the ball. So when it all comes down to it, John Morant, yeah, he puts butts in the seats. He sells tickets, and he puts butts in the seats. But I just think that as time go on, I don't think that his game will continue to be the same game that he has currently today. I don't really get it. I don't see that happening. But it is what it is. On the monitor, they're saying, could Joe Burrow be the next Tom Brady? Could Joe Burrow be the next Tom Brady? I don't want to go that far. Because what a lot of people don't realize is that even with the greatness of Tom Brady didn't win the Super Bowl every year. It was some years he didn't go to the Super Bowl. Saints won. He wasn't in the Super Bowl. It was the Colts. And that was the year that the Saints put a whooping on the Patriots, on Tom Brady when he was with the Patriots. Yeah, Saints put a whooping on him. Saints know Tom Brady very well because, you know, they had dealt with him before a couple times when he was with the Patriots. But at the same time, when he came down to Tampa Bay, they were already familiar with him and what he could do. But that don't mean they could stop him. Because as you seen about 3 weeks ago, Tom Brady happened. He happened to the Saints. He said no, trying to make a push. All they needed was another key win to build on. He said no, not this time. What people don't understand, when the great ones say no, it's no. When the great ones speak out and they say no, that's just what it is. It's not going to happen tonight. It's not going to happen tonight. When the great ones say no, they mean no. Andrew Luck calls T.Y. Hilton the best football player I've ever played with. Andrew Luck calls T.Y. Hilton the best football player I've ever played with, quoting Andrew Luck. Why are the Cowboys still interested in OBJ after signing T.Y. Hilton? Well, everybody's going to be interested in signing a healthy OBJ. They're going to, if he's healthy, they're interested in signing him. But it doesn't make any sense with three or four games left in the season to bring him on board to rehab while he's at in the facility while you guys getting ready for a playoff push. I think that's a distraction, so they made the right move. Go ahead and bring in T.Y. Hilton. Sign T.Y. Hilton, and then let him do his thing. Sign T.Y. Hilton, let him do his thing, and Andrew Luck giving him praise and kudos. That's big. Speaking of Andrew Luck, if I was the New Orleans Saints, I would be going after him right now. If I was the New Orleans Saints, I'd be building up a package to go right after Andrew Luck. And I don't know what his business is with the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know how long they have the rights to him since he retired early, if I'm correct. If he comes back into the league, they may push and say, well, he got to come back here because we still have the rights to him. You know how all that go when it come down and we pay you the X amount of money and whatever. If you come back, it's in the clause that you got to come back for us if you retire early because we want to get our money's worth. It's a non-compete clause. You can't compete against us with another team unless we sit down at the table and agree on it. But if I was the New Orleans Saints, I'd be trying to do whatever I could do, work out whatever deal to bring now healthy Andrew Luck back into the fold and be like, hey, give us 2 or 3 years. Give us 3 to 4 years. Let's try to make a Super Bowl run. Then you can go back and retire. So, you know, we need a cerebral quarterback like Andrew Luck, a winner, a cerebral quarterback. And I think that the Saints ultimately can keep him up, right? I don't think they did too bad of a job this year keeping Andy Dalton's uniform clean. They didn't let him go on the ground too much. Not outside the norm of any other team. So I think that he'll be, you know, there will be a good pickup for the Saints. Speaking of Andrew Luck, since he's in the news, and usually when people start talking about football, that means they still love football. So if they can get him, you know, if they got him on the monitor saying that. And that T.Y. Hilton is the best player he ever played with. Andrew Luck calls T.Y. Hilton the best football player he's ever played with. Why then are the Cowboys still after OBJ? Again, the only reason why OBJ hadn't got picked up yet because people with team staff, doctors and everything, they know that need for OBJ 9 times out of 10 is still stiff. That's why he was saying he needed about 5 weeks. In facility, being around the team, running routes and stuff to get that knee loosened up. And the thing about it is it's cold weather right now. You know, I know me, when I get up, my bones are kind of like stiff, achy. I'm a little bit longer in the tooth than OBJ, of course. But, I mean, you know, once you get past 30, things start to change in your body. 30 is not 26. 26 is not 23. And what one of my good friends told me a long time ago, say, man, when you get past 26 years old, man, your body starts taking a little bit longer to heal after 26, especially if you're not a pro athlete. Pro athletes is a little bit different. Their nutrition, their rest cycle and stuff like that, their rehab is a little bit different than the common man. The common man just gets up and go to work, strap his boots on to go to work and put a rabbit on the table for his family. That's what a man does, the common man. An athlete, you got the trainers, you got the rehab, you got the technology, the medicine. You got all these different things to help you heal a little bit faster than the average person and than the lay person in America. So I'm just saying that after 26 years old, whatever happens to a person's body, if you're an athlete or if you're just a lay person that works out a lot, goes to the gym and stay active at the rec centers, it just take a little bit longer for your body to heal up the right way. And I believe that Odell Beckham definitely is past 26, if I'm correct. I'm thinking he at least about 30 now. But that knee, that injury to that knee. If that knee is getting stiffened up and everything like that, he's probably just like, I'm not ready to really mess with it and go full blast yet. I don't want to risk getting hurt again. So it's almost like saying, well, we can't, the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones is probably saying, well, we don't want to sign you if you're scared to run on it right now. It's okay. We'll keep you in mind for next year. Don't worry about it. If you're scared to run on that knee, we don't want to bring you in right now. Not that we don't want you, but if you're scared to run on it, in fairness to us, fairness to you, we don't want to rush you. We don't want to try to pull something out of you that ain't there yet. Look at like Kawhi Leonard, how long he sat out. He just got back the last couple games for the Clippers. Just got back because he said his knee was stiff. I think he had the same type of injury, same type of surgery, and he just like the knee was stiff. He didn't want to run on it. A lot of people hate the way Kawhi Leonard does his load management, does, you know, preserves his body for the playoffs. A lot of people don't like that. But I mean, I get it. I get it because like, why get out here and then I can't give you 100%? I don't want to go out here and give you 75% of me when if I just rest up, I can at least get back. I can eventually get back to my 100% form. So I understand why Kawhi does the load management thing. I understand it. I get it. We're going to go off into a station break here, let the late night dog get some coffee up in him. For those of you tuning in, this is the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Broadcasting live in front of a global listening audience. Today's topic is Knicks stop the Bulls in overtime. The New York Knicks of the NBA win in overtime in last night's action, giving them a five-game winning streak. The show's number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, will call in and debate the host on all things New York Knicks and the Baltimore Ravens in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered are NBA action and scores. We did that already. NHL, we'll get some NHL scores to you. World Cup, we already know the World Cup final is going to be France against Argentina. Messi may get his first gold globe, and then France may repeat because they won 4 years ago. They may be the first team, I believe, they said the first team in history to repeat in World Cup action since it's been in existence. We talked about NCAA men's and women's action and scores. So we'll get off into some more scores and stuff as they come across and monitor them when we get back. But this is the Stokers and Beer Radio. So I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio. So we're going to do a quick station break, get off into a radio mix, and then we'll be back. Stand by. So I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, thank you for tuning in. If you want to call in to the show, the guest call-in line is 515-602-9687. If you'd like to call in and correct the host or debate the host about anything we're talking about, today's topic is Knicks Stop the Bulls in Overtime, the New York Knicks of the NBA win in overtime in last night's action, giving them a five-game winning streak. The show's number one sports contributor, DC from Maryland, will call in to debate the host on all things New York Knicks and Baltimore Ravens in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered are NBA action and scores, NHL, World Cup, MLB, and NCAA men's and women's action and scores. Yeah, so again, last night, Julius Randle had 30 points or so. Jalen Brunson had 30 points plus in a big win last night, giving them their first five-game winning streak for the New York Knicks. And I think since 2018, I have to do a fact check on that, but I think they said they haven't had a five-game win streak since 2018. So that's big for the Knicks. A lot of people like to complain about the attitude or the decision-making on the court from Julius Randle, but I have to tip my hat to Julius Randle. And I've always liked Julius Randle, coming out of Kentucky, then going on to play for the Lakers, then moving on from there, playing with the Pelicans. I think he started really playing well when he got to the the Pelicans. He started really playing well with the Pelicans. And then, you know, they moved from the Pelicans to New York. And so I'm really liking what he's doing on the court. He might not be perfect. He might not be great in every area. But what I will say is this. He got him on a 5-game win streak, and the Knicks are actually looking pretty good. They're actually looking pretty good. I think this addition with Brunson out there with him, and then R.J. Barrett doing his thing. I mean, they have a big three. Barrett, Brunson, and Randall. That's it. Randall, Barrett, Brunson. The New York Knicks have their big three. That's their big three. They got their big three stars. You know, rather than just being Barrett and Randall, it's Barrett, Brunson, Randall, and then they got a good supporting cast. They got some vets coming off the bench like Derrick Rose. You know, they recently sat him down. I would like to see him get more playing time, but, I mean, as they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. He's still out there. He's still being a vet, a mentor. So hopefully he can still keep embracing that role. I'd like to see him stay in New York. I like to see Derrick Rose stay in New York. I don't want to see him trade him. I don't think Tibbs would trade him because I think they go back to Chicago. So I don't think that Tom Thibodeau would even trade him. So unless the front office made him trade him, or unless Derrick Rose wanted to go somewhere else, like a Charlotte Hornets or somewhere where he could start. But it's like if you're getting paid good to sit down and just give advice and play every now and then, save your body. Why not do that? I mean, it's like me saying, "Hey, I want to go work at physically digging ditches. I want to go physically dig ditches and bust rocks, stack bricks versus sitting in an office space." I mean, you do the math. You do the math. What direction you think I'm gonna go in? I'm going in the easiest direction and get paid and still get paid somewhat similar or more for sitting down. So, you know, I just kind of like wish I could pick some of these vets' brains when they go through this. Hey, I got to come off the bench. Or, hey, you're not in the starting rotation no more. You got to just be ready. I would like to have some of these guys come on the Stokers a Bit radio show and just kind of like pick their brains about how do you feel. Do you feel slighted when the coach tells you, hey, you know, we're going to a 9-man rotation and you're not in the rotation right now? You know. I wonder how these guys feel. Do they get mad and want to go to the front office and complain and stuff like that? Or do they just embrace the role? Like the situation in L.A. with Russell Westbrook, his thing, you know, the other day they were saying, well, he's embraced the role of coming off the bench. He may not start, but he said he wants to be on the court at the end to finish. He may not start the game, but he wants to finish the game. I don't know if he said that or not. It's just a rumor, but it's just like – if what the coach is doing, definitely in L.A., gets you coming off the bench and y'all winning, why not win? It's all about wanting to win, the will to win. But, again, I like what Darvin Ham is doing with the Lakers because it's running a big three without having all of them on the court at the same time. I don't think anyone has ever done it like that. Anytime you have a big three, the big three is the starters. The big three is the starters. Yeah, you got rotations and everything like that throughout the game, the rest guys. But, you know, you usually have a big three. It's like, you know, they're going to be on the court starting the game. They're going to be – they're the starters. They're the finishers. But they've convinced Russell, hey, man, you're just better coming off the bench like a Jamal Crawford. You're just that guy. You're still part of this big three, but it's just like we got to use you to your strengths. And let you just take a game over, let you catch us up, let you give us a spark. And you'll have your time when you're on the court with LeBron James. You'll have your time when you're on the court with AD. We'll operate as a big 3-1 unit a lot of the times. So some might look out and say, well, why is Pat Bev on the court and Russell Westbrook not? Well, Pat Bev defensively, I think, is a better defender than Russell Westbrook. That's probably why. It's not so much of his shooting skills. He can get hot. He can get hot, too. I think their shooting skills is pretty much similar. But Pat Bev was a dog on defense. And when I say a dog on defense, I mean he is the guy that was responsible for breaking Russell Westbrook's knee at one time. When Pat Bev was with Houston and then they was in the playoff against in the playoffs against the Oklahoma City Thunder, or right before the playoffs. He's the year that Russell Westbrook couldn't play in the playoffs because Pat Bev, you know, made him tear his ACL or whatever, you know, with that tight defense, that roughhousing defense. You know, it's good to see that they were able to mend fences and, you know, be in the trenches together with each other, and they got a respect for each other. With the Lakers, you know, that's a good thing. Seemed like that worked out. A lot of people's like questioning whether it will work out or not, but it seemed to work out. I think Pat Bev, like he said, I'm a trench guy. If I'm on the team that I'm on and in the trenches with, that's who I'm going to support. That's it. That's all. I don't care about where I came from. It's all about where I'm at now, who I'm playing for now. On the monitor, they got the Capital One Bowl Mania is coming up on Friday. Capital Bowl Mania is coming up on Friday. You got Miami of Ohio and UAB, and you got UTSA and Troy. Also got the Celebration Bowl coming up, I believe, on ABC on Saturday. You know, so Miami of Ohio against UAB and Bowl Mania coming up on Friday. And then Troy against somebody else. I have to see it when it comes back up on the monitor. I'll catch up on all that. But Bowl Mania is coming up. Bowl Mania is coming up. So, yes, it's about to be an exciting time. You know, on the monitor, they always announce the next game up, next bowl up with that little jingle bell chime on the monitor. So we'll see what's going on. We'll see what's going on there and everything like that with Bowl Mania. But it's an exciting time for college football. NCAA football season is about to wrap up. It's about to wrap up. So, you know, we'll keep our eyes out on all these different bowl games and get the scores out to you as they come about starting on Friday. Bowl Mania is kicking off on Friday for all you global listening audience, all you global listeners that plays football overseas. It is Bowl Mania time in the United States for college football, for NCAA college football. Right now they got the NCAA playoffs going on. Division 1, 2, and 3 is going on right now. We'll keep getting scores out to you and everything like that as they come across the monitor after the, you know, next week, because this time of the week, you know, they're not advertising who won what. Is like, you know, weekend to weekend. But I'll try to do my best to keep up on the NCAA football playoff scores for you as well. While I'm waiting on my man DC to call in, my number one sports contributor from Maryland, I don't know if he's going to show up for work today. I thought he would have showed up for work, but maybe he has some things to do. But what we're going to do is we're going to switch off over into some other stuff. After we take one more quick station break, I'm going to come back and talk about some stuff going on in fan-controlled football. Some stuff going on in the XFL, USFL, and this is for all my street free agents that are looking for opportunities to get into the XFL, the USFL, and to catapult your career to get an opportunity in the Canadian Football League or the NFL. So what we're going to do is we're going to take another quick station break, come back, and get off into our last hour where I'm going to be talking about some things about streak free agency for guys that didn't get picked up last year's draft in 2022, and for guys that more than likely won't be getting picked up for this year's draft in 2023. And let me change the terminology, not draft, but after the draft is over with. Last year, after the draft was over with in 2022, a lot of guys did not get invited to an NFL camp. So they were NFL camp hopefuls. And this year for 2023, we're going to have NFL camp hopefuls, meaning you're not going to be on the draft board because you don't have a draft grade from Pro Football Focus and all those other different entities that write about athletes' ability to play for an NFL franchise. If you're not in that conversation, you're not on the draft board. So what we're going to do is talk about a few things that you should be doing right now. Talk about a few things that you should be doing right now to get yourself prepared for football free agency. But before we get off into that, somebody just showed up for work. Somebody just clocked in late for work, but I can't say he clocked in late because I'm not paying him. He's always donating his time to this show. He's my number one sports contributor, DC out of Baltimore, Maryland. in D.C. I'm about to come to you. But before I come to you, I want to ask you this right here so you already had a question when you get on here. You dogged Julius Randle. You dogged him for like the last, you know, since the NBA season started. But this is the guy that he's a commander. He's a field commander. He's not one of these pencil pushers like you liken it to the military. He's not a admiral sitting up in Washington D.C. He's on the ship. He's on the boat. He's commanding the crew. Now, everybody might not like the way he do it. People say that he got a bad attitude. Last night they was probably saying when they gave him the last shot, so they didn't have to go in overtime. He missed the shot. Yeah, but he had a good look. It was a good play, good look. He just missed the shot. And the ball was supposed to be in his hands. What do you have to say about Julius Randle this morning? He got you on the 5-game winning streak. Go ahead, sir. Good morning. Good morning. Go ahead, sir.
All right. I will admit last night while watching the game, I thought of you briefly. I said, this dude's going to try to call me out for Randle. And I know he's going to say just what you said. So yep. Congratulations on doing exactly what I thought you would do. As Dennis Green said, they are who we thought they were. Right? So number one, everything you said is true. However, I would still trade Julius Randle for a bag of potato chips right now. And so I'll tell you, today is the 15th of December. Today is the first day that players who were signed in free agency and all of that could be traded today. Right? You know, when you sign a player in the offseason, he's protected for a certain period of time before you could trade him. You just can't sign a guy on Monday and trade him on Tuesday. So as part of that bargain agreement, today is the first day. And so what I'm saying is I expect to see some trades over the holidays in the NBA. But I'll tell you this, I'm still in favor of trading Randle. And to me, his improvement, to me, just improves his stock to trade him. The Knicks tried to trade him in the offseason, but because of his attitude, he had such an off year, they felt like they couldn't get enough for him because, of course, he has a contract, he has an attitude. And you know, people were like, oh, I don't know if that's worth it. So him turning around and playing well is great. It means we can trade him. That's number one and two. Number three, I hated the last play of the game from the fact that I thought he killed the offense by holding the ball and doing what he did. I thought Brunson should have been the guy to do that, and that they should have ran a play for Randle. I do think Randle should have took the last shot. I mean, the argument is he's the chief rocker, right? So on any team, when you're the chief rocker, you get the last shot, right? So I agree with that. But I think they should have actually ran a play. That whole isolate him on the wing and he clearing out the side and all that, for a horrible shot. It was a horrible shot. A fadeaway shot going away from the rim on the side of the basket, you know, no movement. No one was under the rim to grab the rebound and maybe put it back in. And you had, you know, Mitchell Robinson, who was killing it and rebounding in that game. I mean, him, even Hartenstein was
Some could argue the other night, before you came on, LeBron James, them ran the same play before they went into overtime against the Celtics. I'm like, why didn't they just run a damn play? Why did they? I understand that, yeah, you said LeBron is the chief rocker, he's the big dog, but it was a horrible. There was a horrible shot to me. It wasn't a better look to me than Julius Randle had. But speak to that. Why are they running those type of ISO shots rather than just running the damn play?
Now, I agree with you on that end, but here's the difference. LeBron, we know, can take anybody off the dribble. Granted, clearly LeBron's on the downside of his career. He's not as good as he was in years past. No argument there. But LeBron going downhill with the basketball is still scary. Nobody fears Julius Randle that way. In fact, Julius Randle was more inclined to travel and turn the ball over and fumble it out of bounds because he has a lot of turnovers. So of that kind of variety. So he was more inclined to dribble the ball off his foot out of bounds and turn it over to Chicago than he would to hit the last shot. Now, let's talk about the end of that game. The game didn't end with the Knicks having the ball last. The Chicago actually had the ball last and was in a position to actually win the game. And it would have been a crying shame had the Knicks lost that game at the end of regulation when they led pretty much the entire game. They were in control pretty much the entire game. I mean, Chicago had a few runs and took the lead for a couple of times for a very short period of time. But the New Yorks looked very good in that game. The Knicks looked very good in that game the entire game, right? It would have been horrible if they had lost that in the end. But Randle would have been the GOAT, the scapegoat, and it would have been well deserved. And here's the funny part. If you go on ESPN, they say, and you look at the game, they highlight Brunson with the crossover and hitting the three to ice the game. They talk about the shooting guard who hit the three that was arguably the nail in the coffin, right? They talk about all of that, Quentin Grimes. So they talk about all of that and not necessarily Randle, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I think you should have gave the ball to Brunson, let him run a play, given the ball to Randle so Randle could do something instead of the way it went. So I blame the coach for that. For not calling up. Can't believe that the coach told them, we're just going to isolate the ball and let Randle do something with 25 seconds left on the clock. Or 19 seconds, whatever it was, up on the game clock. I don't believe that.
Yeah. But maybe Brunson don't want to step up and take that leadership role, or maybe he's afraid that if he step up and be like, hey, run everything through me, then he might get 10 tech like how Jordan Poole got 10 checked by Draymond Green. You know, Randle's the type of guy that'll do something like that.
Now, I agree with you. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened. There was a four-game stretch where Brunson was trying to take over the game at the end by himself. He won one. We lost three. And so the argument started being, hey, dude, pass the ball. In fact, they interviewed Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose said, yeah, he probably did a little bit too much on himself. And Derrick Rose was like, I've been talking to him and coaching him up a little bit. Like, you know, you got to get your players involved, right? And so my point is that might be why Brunson was afraid to do that. But I still would trade Julius Randle for a bag of potato chips. Do I think he deserves to be an all-star this year? Yeah, actually I do. And you would say, well, why are you so down on this guy? It is his attitude. He has worked out in the offseason. I keep up with the Knicks on social media. He has worked out in the offseason. He lost weight. He trimmed up. He got stronger. No lie. He has worked on his game. He made a bet with a teammate that he wouldn't get thrown out and that he would have less with a Knicks staffer, is the way the quote went, that he wouldn't have any technicals and as many as he had the year before and all that. Well, that went out the window, right? He got thrown out two games ago. He got ejected. So clearly, he still has a problem. But he has gotten better. In his defense, I have seen an improvement in his attitude this year. I have. You're right about the leadership piece. He called a team meeting. And when they on the last West Coast trip, he called a team meeting and a player-only meeting, and they all went out to dinner, and they went on a little winning streak and had a successful road trip. So you're right. But I'd still trade that dude for a bag of potato chips. Now, maybe not a bag of Funyuns, maybe just a bag of potato chips instead of a bag of Funyuns, right? But either way.
Well, let me throw this in there. before you came on the show, I said, I fear that y'all problem is going to be the trade deadline. I think that's coming up in February around the All-Star break time, somewhere up in there. I think y'all problem is going to be clearing out your vets, getting your vets out of there, like a Derrick Rose, a guy that I think you guys should keep just for the leadership value of nothing else. I think you're going to get let go some key pieces on the bench, some key vets on the bench, and then you're going to be left with, like, let's say, for instance, a Brunson and a Barrett. Brunson, Barrett, Grimes. Brunson, Barrett, Grimes is who I'm speaking of, is who y'all going to be left with. You won't have the enforcer in Julius Randle, because, like you said, they're probably going to get rid of him. And then you're going to get rid of a vet like Derrick Rose. How does that look? Barrett, Brunson, Grimes. How does that look getting y'all into the playoffs? I don't see it happening.
Now, I'm glad you say that, because I'll tell you this. My wife does not want them to trade Fournier. However, I want them to trade Fournier. And I like Fournier. Fournier broke John Stockton's record last year for the most three-point shots in a season. So Fournier can play. He was nice with Orlando when he was with Orlando, and he was carving us up when he was with Orlando. I wasn't against them signing Fournier when he did. However, they signed Fournier on the downside of his career. I'm not saying he's a bum, but, you know, any player 30 years old is not the same player as when he was 25. And that's what I'm saying to him. Fournier is not the 25-year-old Grimes is, and I think Grimes is a more complete player and a slightly better athlete. So I would like to see them trade Fournier. I would love to see them trade Randle. I want Obi Toppin to play. I see Obi Toppin as Amari Stoudemire, honestly. But Obi Toppin doesn't get as much time because he backs up Randle. And now Obi Toppin has got a foot injury, so he's out. I don't know if you've seen the infamous picture that's floating around on social media of the Knicks at the holiday Christmas party where all the players had white women except one. And it's been talked about on social media horribly. Horribly. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen it on Facebook and numerous feeds. Instagram is horrible. But the point of the story is I would like to see them trade Randle. You're right. I would like to see them trade Fournier. You're right. I would like to see them trade quickly. I agree with you. They should keep Derrick Rose, but they should trade Emmanuel quickly, who is he's like Maxey for the Philly, just not as good. He really is. Maxey's a better player, but he's similar to Maxey. Like, they have the same skill set. And whenever we play Philly, the coach brings them in whenever Maxey comes in the game and quickly gets beat up by Maxey. Like, Maxey has his number, even though they're the same type of player. So I would like to see them trade quickly. I would like to see them trade Fournier and, of course, Randle. I would like to see them keep Cam Reddish, but they're trying to get rid of him. I do think the trade deadline is going to be crucial for this team. I agree with you. I think they're going to make a move that's going to sink them instead of a move that's going to help them. So you're right. When the Knicks made the playoffs the year before last and they were the four seed, the trade deadline trade they made, well, the one they made, the trade that they made that made the difference was picking up Derrick Rose. So I do think they're going to make the wrong move. I agree.
And speaking of which, I'll throw two things at you. Number one, it's like if it's already working, my thing is always if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, of course, the powers that be in the front office are like, well, come down to the dollar. It's always about the dollar in the front office. Don't get it twisted. It's always about clearing cap space. Thing is, not just with the Knicks. I see the same thing happening with the Lakers, and I'll have you speak to that, you know, because the Lakers, I feel like, with the way Russell Westbrook has embraced the role of coming off the bench, he's looking better. I don't know if they doing that to showcase him, like you said before, where they're going to showcase him and then they can go ahead and let him go. But I argue this with the Lakers. It's like they knew what they were signing Russell Westbrook for. They knew he had a big price tag from another team or whatever. They ate it because LeBron said he wanted him there with him. And this thing has worked out because Darvin Ham is doing something that I don't think nobody else has ever done. He's running the big three without the big three being on the court at the same time. They still have a big three in Westbrook, AD, and LeBron. But Darvin Ham has figured out a way to still have a big three, and they're not all on the court at one time. Of course, we have rotations during the game at all times. You know, no one basketball game, everybody's on the court during the whole game in most cases, unless it's the playoffs. But what I'm saying is that Darvin Ham is doing something different. He's running a big three without all of them being starters. Now, back to my original point, for both teams, the Knicks and the Lakers, I think the Lakers are also going to make the mistake of getting rid of Russell Westbrook and sending them somewhere else. For what reason, I don't know, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And in their case, it shouldn't be about money because you knew what you were getting when you knew how much you had to pay for him when you brought him in. Speak to that. If it ain't broke, don't
now,
fix it.
I'm glad you said that because I've been anxious to talk about the Lakers. I still agree with Kendrick Perkins. They suck. Have they been playing better? Absolutely. If the playoffs started today, the Lakers are still out of the top 10, so they would not even be in the play-in tournament. They're in the 12th spot, and they are 5 games under .500. Right? Now, contrast that to the Knicks really briefly. We are in the 6th. So we would be in the regular playoffs if the playoffs started today. We wouldn't even have a play-in tournament for us. We would be in the regular playoffs, and we'd get Cleveland in the first round. Right. So for the Knicks, yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it for us, which I think for us is the rotation. If you make trades, then you're trading – players to give them opportunities to play somewhere else, patient the same. Whereas with the Lakers, I think you got this other problem. It isn't the money. I agree it's not the money. It's the age. I think if you're the Lakers, the argument is, what happens if LeBron leaves next year? Then who do we have to pass the mantle to? Who's the next guy? Is it Walker, Lonnie Walker? Who's going to carry the mantle? So, or who's going to be the next young guy for us? That's where the rumors of the Lakers picking up Cam Reddish come in, right? Young guy was at Duke, lottery pick, drafted, been around. This is an opportunity. AD doesn't like to play the center, but maybe you trade him for Randle. You get Randle can play the power forward, same spot as AD. You say, why would I give up AD? Well, we all know that AD is always injured. You trade him to the Knicks, at least you get rid of an injured guy for a guy that's a bully that can play pretty rough in the paint. Not suggesting they do that, just saying that was an option that was floating around before AD
But they got rid of him before. They had Randle before with I think the year LeBron.
Yeah,
he was a
rookie and he was with Kobe and he broke his leg in his first season. Yep, that's all true. And yes, they did trade him to do that, but it doesn't mean they can't get him back, right? Because that has happened too. You know, if you trade Westbrook, you get rid of his salary, and you bring in maybe a veteran like Rose. The reason why I keep bringing up the Knicks and the Lakers in your comparison is because there actually has been rumors about the Knicks making a trade with the Lakers, and for the Lakers, it's dumping salary and getting draft picks and younger players who can learn and play under LeBron.
Okay.
And for the Knicks, it's, clearing up gluts in your rotation because you got a lot of players that play the same skill set doing the same thing. Because the argument is you've got Derrick Rose, Brunson, McBride, and Quickly. All of them are point guards. All of them about the same height, and all of them have about the same skill set. So if you got four point guards all doing the same thing, somebody can't play. And Brunson in the game together, then now you have two short guards, which is a mismatch on defense. So how do you get rid of that glut? So to me, you know, you trade Quickly, which takes you down to three guards. And, you know, if you trade them for Westbrook, then you just release Westbrook off your books. So now, you know, you have, because, you know, the salary has to be within like $100,000, I think it is, for the league will accept the trade. That's why you'll see like a max player get traded for like three bums in a draft pick, because it's like they have to, their total combined salary's got to be within, let's say, $150,000 or something like that for the trade to work, right? So my argument is, I'm saying, I think for the Lakers, they do need to make trades at the trade deadline as the Knicks, and I think the Lakers should make trades starting today because, again, they're available. And I think they should look to get younger a little bit and find some role players that can support the big three, because when they won the title in the bubble, that's what they had. They had players that were role players that could do that. You know, I think of Trevor Ariza. Whenever I think of the Lakers, the modern-day Lakers, I'm talking about post-Magic and all of them, I think of Trevor Ariza. Trevor Ariza actually was drafted and played for the Knicks as a rookie. And Larry Brown thought he sucked, which I never agreed with. Larry Brown was like, get Trevor Ariza out of here. They traded Trevor Ariza to the Lakers. And how many rings did he win with Kobe? And Trevor Ariza always was the – of course he could, right? But he was always that guy who was able to make the key shot or do the right thing at the right time. Trevor Ariza was no bum, right? But that's the thing. But when he played, he went to the Wizards. He didn't do much with them. But he won rings, you know. He was with the Lakers, and he played with the Lakers twice, you know, towards the end of his career, he went with the Lakers, but that dude was killing it. And then when he went to Houston, he was balling for them, right? He was that guy, that shooting guard that was there to make the right play, hit the right jumper at the right time. Like, you know, he was that dude. And that's what I think about every time I think about the modern Lakers. So I say that to say, I agree with you, if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality. I do agree with that. But the problem with the Lakers is it's Father Time, right? You have one injury. If AD get hurt again, as well as they have been playing, I know this is weird to say, as well as they have been playing, they are still five games under 500. A, B, they're out of the playoffs, and C, you're right, Darvin Ham has been doing a heck of a job to make them more competitive. However, despite all of that, if they lose AD, they're going to be even worse. So they need to make some trades to get better. And, you know, people argue it's addition by subtraction, right? And that's what you could say it is, right? It's addition by subtraction. They'll get better if they offload a guy of the big. A lot of people say it should be Westbrook, but I agree with you. Maybe it's AD that you trade. Westbrook, even as your sixth man, leads the team in assists. You know, which says a lot about your point guard spot, right? It also says, I mean, Westbrook's a heck of a rebounder, right? And he's really the leader of the second team. So.
We have to be careful with our terminology, because he's not considered a sixth man. See, if he listened to this radio show right now and heard you say that, he would get pissed off. Then that's going to cause problems in the locker room, because he's like, you got all these different people. I was listening to Stokers and Beer in D.C. said that I was a sixth man. I'm part of a big three. I'm the third part of the big three. Even though I'm not starting, I'm not no sixth man. So what I'm saying is that he's not going to be a candidate for the sixth man award because he's not. If you're part of a big three, you can't be considered a sixth man. Am I correct?
Well, you're technically right. Argument is, if let's use the Detroit Pistons. You could argue their big three was Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, and Vinny the Microwave Johnson. And Vinny the Microwave came off the bench, right? You could make that argument. You could say it wasn't Bill Laimbeer who was the other part of the big three. You could say it was Vinny the Microwave Johnson. You could say it was Mark Aguirre, right? And because they traded with Mark Aguirre from Dallas 1 year, right? And you could argue the third player could be anybody, not necessarily a starter.
They didn't have a big three back then. They had a big two. There's always a big two. It was just
Laimbeer
and Isaiah Thomas, the big two. Everybody else was considered back in those days a role player or somebody coming off the bench. It was never we're going to draft three big stars because the budget wouldn't allow that. Am I correct?
Yeah, you can make that argument. Now, let's talk about the Lakers' starting lineup, though. So Dennis Schroeder is your point guard. Is he really, truly a NBA caliber point guard? Honestly.
No, he's a shooter.
Right. But he's Emmanuel Quickly, just older. Right? So my point is could you get rid of Dennis Schroeder and get you a real starting point guard? Let's just say you had Emmanuel Quickly, a point guard that can shoot the ball, that's younger, that's quicker, that's more athletic, right? Would that make the Lakers better? Mm-hmm. You could still have Russell Westbrook be the backup, right? Kendrick Nunn is athletic like Russell Westbrook, but he's no point guard to lead no team. Kendrick Nunn is a poor man's Russell Westbrook. He's behind him. Right, Patrick Beverley is really a point guard, but he's playing a two guard, which says the Lakers don't really have a two guard. So if you had a two guard, that changes the game, which is why a lot of people talk about the Lakers picking up Cam Reddish or even Fournier. Now, imagine if you guys had Evan Fournier, who, again, broke the Knicks' single-season record for three-pointers last year that was set by John Starks. So that tells you dude can hit the three, and that's a major part of his game. Imagine Fournier on the wing with LeBron driving to the basket and then passing it out, drawing a double and triple team like LeBron do, and kicking it out to a guy like Fournier, right? A crafty veteran who's like a Ginobili. He's like a Manu Ginobili type of guy. He's that kind of crafty little dude, right? Like he... You know, with rebounding and moving to the basket, he's that kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
That changes the game. Anthony Davis don't like to play the center, so you can put him back at the four. You can put LeBron at the three. You can move Lonnie Walker to the two. You can make a whole lot of changes. My point is you can make a lot of changes, but your lineup as it stands, you just don't have the support staff. Damian Jones, that dude's not nothing. Juan Toscano Anderson, that guy, he's a guy that you know, he's the 10th or 12th guy on the team. He shouldn't be in your regular rotation. So you guys got to make some moves. And so to me, you don't have the draft picks because you traded them. So you got to trade some salary. You got to do the addition by subtraction. You got to get younger. You can't compete in the West with these horses in the West with this lineup.
Let me segue here before we get you out of here. Segue to some NFL topics here, some things I want to ask you about your beloved Baltimore Ravens and your division. You guys are the NFC East, am I correct?
We are the AFC North. AFC East is
okay.
The East is Miami, Buffalo, and New England. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Baltimore right now, Lamar Jackson, they were saying, yes, they missed the second practice or whatever for the week or whatever the case may be. That I look at it like this. Is it time to go ahead and say, Lamar, we're sitting you down to next year? I mean, you got four games left. Go ahead on and get Huntley ready. He's taking the snaps with the ones. If get your backup behind him ready and get ready to go and try to get at least a playoff win. Because I feel like if you put Lamar Jackson back in there, you risk two things. Him trying too hard and looping and getting you an early exit out of the playoffs. And then on top of that, you're not going to have him on time for next year till about, mid-season. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, thank you for asking me, because this has been a pretty rough topic for me all week. I've been arguing all week about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and the quarterback situation for various reasons. I'll start with Lamar. Lamar is not ready to come back. My wife is in the medical field, explained that come back from a strained PCL, but she said 4 weeks is early. She said, I want you to be clear. She said 4 weeks is ideal. She said more realistic is six, which would then say you're talking about the second week in the playoffs. As a player, the argument is, would he wait that long, or would he come back if he could just move around without pain? And what my wife expressed was, that's the problem. As soon as he gets tackled, if he lands on that knee, it's like he's going to feel like he got hit by a car type of deal. So with that being said, your question of should you ask Lamar to shut it down and worry about next season would be a smart answer, provided he had signed the daggone contract extension prior to the season. But since he didn't, he's not going to want to do that, nor is he going to want to support the conversation, because that would be what anybody would remember from him, unless the Ravens said, we'll sign you to an extension right now, right? But he don't want to do that. So unfortunately, he's going to try to get back out there as long as they still have life in them to play. Going to Huntley. The issue with Huntley is, the problem I had was, he wasn't clear from the concussion protocol. And so I felt like, well, until he's clear, he should not be out there at all. They should have Anthony Brown, the third string guy, getting all the snaps, regardless of Tyler Huntley's status. Like, if Tyler Huntley get cleared on Friday, then let him do walkthroughs on Friday and then let him start Thursday. But my attitude was, Huntley should know the playbook. Like, you can't be the backup quarterback on a team all year and not know the daggone playbook. What the hell you been doing? You just sitting around walking around all day? So the third string guy who was at home on the couch, Anthony Brown, he did play for the Ravens during preseason. And he played a couple of games, and he played the whole second half of one game and, like, let's say the fourth quarter of another game. And he did look good. He did. But we knew he was going to get cut, because they just don't keep – the Ravens don't typically keep three quarterbacks, because they're one of the teams that keep a fullback, right? So we knew he was going to not make the cut. But the point is he looked good. So I wasn't disappointed when they signed him off the street. But that's the guy that needs to see the playbook and run the plays, not Huntley. So I was upset with Harbaugh for not getting him out there. The other thing is this. If you go in a game with Huntley and Brown, then to me you need to sign a third quarterback. Because what if Huntley gets hit? Let's say Huntley starts Saturday. He gets hit and he's back in the concussion protocol. Now you're down to Anthony Brown, and that's your only quarterback for the rest of the game. Right? So the Ravens got this quarterback who played at the local high school here. He was well known, and he kept a fringe guy, right? He's like one of the guys you represent in your business. you know, you get a lot of those fringe kind of guys. So he was kind of one of them fringe guys where he was good enough to make it, get on the practice squad, play in the preseason, but not to make the active roster, right? That kind of dude. So to me, they need to bring that dude in. They need to bring that dude in and let him start, you know, going over the playbook and all of that, put him on the practice squad just in case that you go into this game on Saturday, Huntley get hurt and out, Brown is in the game, and then you have no backup quarterback. Because we're at the point of the season where it matters now, right? You did all of this to get to this point. It matters. And the Ravens are under pressure because Cincinnati is playing well. They're playing well.
No doubt.
We got the tiebreak over Cincinnati right now, but they're playing well. If we slip up, we lose and they win, we're in second place, and now we're in the wild card fight. Which is a problem for the Ravens.
Wild card.
That's right. They do not want to be in the wild card. Because the reality is, the look at who the Ravens have lost to, that's in the wild card, right? They lost to Miami. Miami's in a fight. They did beat the Jets, so they own the tiebreaker against them, right? But we don't have any other teams that would be in the wild card to play them head-to-head for the rest of the season because we're finishing up with the NFC South and, of course, in our own division. So we don't have time to play games, right? If it came to between us and the Jets, obviously we're in and the Jets is out. But we don't want to play that wild card scenario, right? We want to host the home game. So to me, we got to win the division. So
in your division though, why am I not hearing a whole lot about Deshaun Watson? I mean, all these weeks we've been waiting, he's out for 11 games, waiting all this time for him to come back. He played one game. I'm assuming he didn't look all this spectacular if I'm thinking back a week before last. Now this week, I haven't really heard much about him. I mean, are they still considering starting him moving forward, or are they going to bring back the other quarterback that they had?
No,
in the beginning?
He's playing moving forward. And you know why the NFL and the media has been laying off is because they don't want to upset people about his trials, which I am not for any of the – I'm in support of Deshaun Watson, 100%. I think that it was a money grab for all the women. I have nothing against – I'm not saying I support the sexual assault or any of that crap. I'm not supporting that. I'm saying in this scenario, dude was paying these women – They have Cash App and text messages where they were Cash Apping each other, and chicks were like, "Hey, you coming by the studio next week, the massage parlor? Oh yeah, I'll be through there on Tuesday," you know, that kind of deal. And all of a sudden now you're crying that there was an assault? Are you serious? There was an article online about a kid, a teenager, who was shocked when he found out his mom joined the lawsuit. Because he was like, "Mom used to brag about her relationship with Deshaun Watson. I was telling all my friends about it. We thought it was cool. And now mom's part of the lawsuit." See what I mean? So it never sit well with me because it never had a good taste in my mouth.
Why is he struggling though on the football field though? Why is he struggling playing football when he came back, he was allowed to come back in the facility, he was allowed to take part in practice, he just couldn't play up until
because,
a certain point.
Because,
why is
and
he
I'm
struggling?
Gonna tell you what, that Houston game was horrible for him, and it should have been, because it had to bother him that they brought 10 women to come to the stadium and watch that dude play. Let me explain to you. I have a law degree, so let me explain to you how the law works. If we have an issue and you sue me for damages and you win, then that means that I was found liable, okay? So if I paid you, I was found liable, so we're even. if you keep going around telling everybody what I did, it's like you're getting extra licks in, right? It's like when we're fighting back in the day when we were fighting on the block, and somebody, three people will hold you down, another guy will come and he keep hitting you, boop, 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 right? He's getting an extra lick. I was beating you when it was 1-on-1, and then when you won, now you're going to get people to tie me down and get extra licks. And I'm saying that was bothering that dude. That's why he was struggling. He played a little bit better in the last game, but I do think he's going to come out Saturday against the Ravens. I do think he's going to come out. And the other thing is this, the Ravens give up the ball. If you throw the ball on us, we let you catch it. I mean, receivers do well.
I would say that the defense.
Choke.
I would say your Ravens defense are going to step up to try to destroy him because they're fighting for their lives. I mean, you guys started off hot. I mean, you guys had some, you know, y'all had some snafus, but I mean, overall, y'all, I was looking at y'all like, man, you know, the way y'all played definitely against the Saints, I was like, if they play like that moving forward against everybody, you know, y'all got Roquan Smith on defense. Then, you know, so I'm like, you know, you guys one of the rare teams that use a fullback, which I like that about the team. The offensive line is decent. The doggone defensive line is good. I'm thinking that they're going to come out trying to kill Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. But just like I told you about with Pittsburgh, I mean, you said that you didn't think that y'all was going to beat Pittsburgh. I said, I don't know. I said, the Steelers are terrible. I don't see them. I don't see y'all losing to Pittsburgh. Go ahead.
Now, you did say that. Now, I said that we won, but it was barely. It was barely.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but we did win, and a win is a win is a win. Right. I'll tell you this. What I like with Cleveland, Cleveland is 3-3 at home. So they prove that they can win at home. Right. They prove that they can win at home. Right. And so I think Cleveland, this is a dangerous game for the Ravens. To be honest, this is a game I would not be shocked if we lost. Deshaun Watson, this will be his third game back. It's at home. The Ravens are suspect against the pass. And we don't have – our quarterback situation is up in the air. So this is a game that could be a loss for the Ravens and change their season. So I really hope that Cleveland do win. However, I expect the Ravens to win, but I do see Cleveland with a path.
Yeah, it's the thing that puzzles me with Cleveland. Number one, what is there? Are they still in the wild card? Because if they are in the wild card, then, you know, this is why I say I hate these GMs in the front office. When it comes down to the GM and the owner is telling the GM, tell those coaches to get Watson on the field right now. When the other quarterback who was at Pryor, it's like, hey, why is he not starting? Why is he not, put it like this, I'm doing a two-quarterback system until I know for sure that Deshaun Watson is totally ready. I'm not putting him on the field for him to have bad games and then it knocks us all the way out the playoffs just because I'm looking at the money I'm spending on him. Well, you already knew the guy had legal problems. You already knew the guy was going to come in late. You already knew the guy was going to struggle for about four, I'm going to say four games. I don't think he's done struggling. I don't think he's going to come out and look any better than he did. And so I'm like, you know, why not have the other quarterback back in there taking, you know, when Watson starts to struggle, bring the other quarterback back in. Go ahead.
All right, so if the playoffs started today, Cleveland would not be in because they would be 12th in the division. They are technically still eligible to make the playoffs, but so they're not mathematically eliminated, but they are. If they lose this week, they're done. I think mathematically they would be done if they lose to the Ravens Saturday. So this is a game for both teams to define their season. I think Cleveland accepted that they would not make the playoffs, but the fact that Jacoby Brissett played so well, because he did.
Yeah, Brissett.
I think they have the opportunity to still get in, but they would have to run the table, right? They would have to finish 9-8 to have a chance to get in, and they're currently 5-8. So that didn't win their last four. I don't think they would make the playoffs, even if they did win their last four, because they got Jacksonville, the Raiders, the Jets, the Chargers to all hurdle to get to the playoffs. So I don't see them doing that. However, they could beat the Ravens this weekend, which I am definitely concerned about this game. Yeah, I'm concerned. And I'm really concerned because Cincinnati keeps winning. If Cincinnati were to lose this week, I would feel a lot better. But I don't see it. Cincinnati, they got – now, Cincinnati got Tampa Bay. And so, which the Bucs are fighting to still win you guys' division. And if you saw my face right now, you'd see a huge smile when I talk about the NFC South. But the point is I hope Tom Brady does beat Burrow, and I hope you guys help us out there. It'd be nice if we win and then you guys and Tampa Bay win. That would be real nice. I see you guys. I'm talking about your division. It'd be real nice if that would have happened, because then that would put us a game and a half up on Cincinnati. But I'd also take it if we lost and Cincinnati lost, and so we stayed in first place in that way too. But it's going to be tough. I agree with that. But I am definitely concerned about this week, without question.
Well, all right, man. Before we let you get up out of here so I can go ahead and close the show, you got any parting thoughts?
Yeah. What's funny is Cleveland plays the Saints next week. So I know that if they won this week, you wouldn't want them to get on the four game winning streak when they got to come across you guys, and you guys play Atlanta with the new rookie quarterback in the game with the whole Marcus Mariota thing. So I'm curious to see how you guys are going to fare, because you guys still got a chance. You guys aren't technically eliminated either, so that would be exciting to see how that's going to work for you guys. So that's what I wanted to end the show with, was not talking about my team and my conference, but talking about your team and your conference.
We toast, man. We done.
Well, you're not mathematically out, right? You got to win out to have a chance, and you still could win your division beginning there. You need Tampa Bay to lose a couple of games, right? But we'll see.
We'll see. Well, look, man, I want to thank you for coming
on
the show.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Coming on the show, man. We'll get you back on here sometime next week, and I appreciate you.
All right. Later.
Yes, that was our number one sports contributor, D.C., calling out of Baltimore, Maryland, calling out of Maryland, all things, talking all things New York Knicks, and then all things Baltimore Ravens, and, a couple of different topics about NBA and NFL. So that's our number one sports contributor, D.C., chiming in this morning with us on the Stokers NBA radio show. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokers NBA Radio Show, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC. That's W Best in Chula Vista, California. I want to remind everybody out there, as I close the show out, to go out and get your flu shots, get your COVID-19 boosters, have plenty of cold meds by you after you get your shot, because I got mine the other day and it made me a little bit sick, like I had either COVID-19 or like I had the flu. I don't know which one was doing what, but I felt like crap after I got both of my shots on the same day. However, I'm up and about again now, and I just want to encourage everybody to make sure that you get your vaccines. If you get sick, quarantine yourself about 5 days in another room in the household away from everybody else. Keep your mask on so you don't get everybody else in the house sick, and then they go outside to get the whole community sick. So take the doctor's advice, do what you need to do. I want to encourage everybody to stay light, not darkness. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Pray for world peace. Pray that this war in Ukraine ends as we gear up to ship more weapons over there, shooting a bunch of Patriot missiles over there and everything like that. Pray that this war ends over in Ukraine before Christmas gets here. Pray for the Ukrainian people. Pray for the Russian soldiers that don't want to be fighting the war or getting drafted into this war, because it's basically the same people killing each other. So pray that peace goes on over there in the Ukraine area. With that being said, I want to tell everybody, you know, for you street free agents out there, if you'd like to work with me, and if you're going to be if you were an NFL camp hopeful in 2020 and still looking for an opportunity to play professional football at the most immediate level, or if you are a NFL camp hopeful, projected to be an NFL camp hopeful for the 2023 draft after the draft is over, meaning NFL camp hopeful, meaning you're hoping that you're going to get a call for a free agent contract after the NFL 2023 draft is over with, give me a call at 619-655-1581 and text me if you want more information on how it works, or you can DM me at Ferrand Sports at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D Sports, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferrand Sports on Twitter. You can just text me more info on your Prove It system. My Prove It system is basically I'll take your film and resume, which I have a 85% success rate, very high success rate in getting the guy off the couch and out of the gym and putting him on the football field. I take you off the couch watching football, take you out of the gym training for a football opportunity, and put you on a football team so you can play football. So I'm highly successful, 85% success rate, to basically take your film and your resume and send it out to different teams at the most immediate level you qualify to play at, to start moving you up from level to level. And the ultimate goal is to get you to the XFL and the USFL level so you can eventually get an opportunity at an NFL summer camp free agent contract coming up for 2023. The fee is on a $1,200 package. It is a $600 down payment, $600 due in 35 days. $600 down payment, $600 due in 35 days after that. If you don't pay the other $600, you got to start back over from scratch, and that's just an incentive to make you go ahead on and finish out your business with me so we can stay in business, because once I don't get the second installment, I stop working. But it's $600 down to get started, and then I'll start taking your film and resume and shopping it out to some key people in my football network, coaches, scouts, and whatnot, so you can get an opportunity to go ahead and start playing and moving up and hopefully get some spring film to get a summer camp opportunity after the NFL draft 2023 is over with. So that's how the system works. I'll give you more detail. If you contact me on my telephone number, again, at 619-655-1581, and then you can text me, or you can call me and just say you want more information on my Prove It system. And you can also DM me at Ferrand Sports on Twitter about my Prove It system. Just say I want more details on the Prove It system. You can also email me at rdferrand@gmail.com. That's R is in Romeo, D is in dog, F is in Frank, E-R-R-A-N-D, rdferrand@gmail.com. And you can just put in the subject line details on the Prove It system, and I'll be able to help you out if you're willing to be helped. I wish I could do all this stuff for free for all of you guys, but this is how I make a living. This is my business. This is my livelihood. So there is a fee. But anything that you invest in my Prove It system, you can make it back in anywhere from 4 to 6 games in the leagues that I put you in. If you pay me 2 installments of $600, depending on what league I put you with, you can make it back playing within 4 to 6 games in one season. 4 to 6 games in one season. That's a fact. With that being said, everybody, I want everybody to stay safe out there. Have a great day. Pray for world peace. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Remember, there is only one race. That's the human race. And we'll be back we'll be back hopefully on Monday. If God be willing, we'll be back on Monday with another great episode of the Stogies NBA Radio Show. This has been Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies NBA Radio Show. I want everybody to stay safe out there. We're going to set black and fade all. Have a great day.